There's not a lot of room to walk around in Brittany Rogers' little studio apartment. That's because her roommates take up most of the free space.
These two are called Mandarin rat snakes.
That's Slim Jim. She's an Australian carpet python.
This is a scaleless Texas rat snake.
So these are two corn snakes. The pink one is the female.
Two black rat snakes.
Their names are Dexter and Scandal.
And then Chewy, she's also a black rat snake, but she's white because she's albino and patternless. Dexter and Chewy accidentally had a couple babies last year. So these are the babies.
Sugar and Noodle.
There are 17 snakes in this apartment. The walls are lined with temperature controlled terrariums, specialized plastic habitats pull out of rack units like file drawers, and each one is furnished with stones and branches for the comfort of the inhabitants.
So this little guy's Sylvester.
It's a Western hognose. He doesn't bite, but he likes to make a lot. He makes a lot of noise.
Yeah, that's a sound you generally don't want to hear.
They're like fake rattlesnakes.
This is my only boa constrictor. His name's Darwin. This is a Brazilian rainbow boa. His pattern is beautiful. They're these perfectly circular rings. They almost look like eyes that go down his whole back.
I just have to explain. He's crawling up the microphone and up my arm right now.
Be the branch.
That's all right. I'm holding still.
Yeah, he's quadrupled his size since we got him 2 years ago. He has another 2 feet to go.
We'll do a little experiment here. We'll let him wrap himself around the microphone so listeners can hear the experience of being squeezed by a boa constrictor. Oh, yeah. He's on there pretty good.
Yep.
Add to the snakes a North American tree frog, a pink zebra tarantula, a Euromastix lizard, and an emperor scorpion. And you've met just about everybody in Brittany's place, except the king of the castle. An iguana named Pierce is relaxing on the back of a couch, staring out the window.
He used to have a cage, but he outgrew it. And then he used to have his own room, but he figured out how to open the door. So now I just decided to baby-proof the apartment and let him do his thing.
This is an impressive-sized iguana. Iguana is like the size of a chihuahua.
Right. He's about 4 pounds now, but he'll be 12 pounds someday. He gains 50% of his body weight every year.
Well, he looks very well cared for. You're stroking his chin right now, and he looks like he's used to that kind of fawning treatment.
He is. He's a little on the spoiled side. He appreciates any and all attention.
I had no idea that iguanas enjoyed being petted.
Well, in the wild, they're naturally very aggressive and territorial, but I've had him since he was a little less than a year old, and just being with him daily and interacting with him this way has sort of conditioned him to be so relaxed.
Pierce has good reason to be so relaxed. He clearly gets waited on, hand and foot, by Brittany. She's standing at a cutting board in her kitchen, making him a breakfast of collard greens and carrots. She chops the carrots extra small because she knows that's how he likes them. And when she opens her refrigerator, she points out that what's good enough for the iguana is good enough for her.
I am a vegetarian, so me and the lizard share almost everything in here, the collard greens, kale greens, broccoli, strawberries, apples.
The freezer, though, not so vegetarian friendly. All those snakes have to eat, too.
So these are the fuzzies. I buy them in bulk.
And when you say the fuzzies, you're talking about a freezer bag full of dead mice.
Yes.
Yeah, every size has its own name. These are what we call regulars.
They're the most common or standard size rat or mouse. So most of the animals here eat the regulars.
Considering the contents of Brittany's freezer, it's pretty much inevitable that she'd end up being really good friends with this woman.
I have a lot more rodent meat in my freezer than anything else, actually.
Carrie Litz is a fellow herpetoculturist. She keeps 11 snakes at her place. Carrie is at Brittany's apartment this morning talking shop. Both women are graduates from the Maryland Institute College of Art. They met there while they were working together at the school store. They got to talking, and it turns out
both of us had a similar upbringing in that we really loved the outdoors. We loved even the creepy crawlies that other people were afraid of. and we really bonded over that.
I think one of the things that we bonded over when we became friends was that we both have this personal policy to love the unloved. I think that's the most concise way to put it.
At the time, Brittany was also volunteering at an exotic animal rescue and working as a teacher's assistant for a nature drawing class at MICA. One day, a light bulb went on, and she realized she could put those two parts of her life together.
In class, it was getting very repetitive to keep drawing taxidermied animals, and then all of our field trips to zoos and aquariums and museums were so crowded, and I wasn't really satisfied with any of the work we were doing. So I decided to bring in some animals to the drawing class, and that everybody was so happy with it.
As Brittany got close to finishing up her bachelor's degree, she started wondering, as young artists are wont to do, how she was going to make a living. That's when she heard about a new master's degree program at MICA.
It's called the Masters of Professional Studies or the Masters of Business in Art and Design. And it's like an MBA light for artists. And I was like, oh, I really need this. So I signed up for it. And it was a very intense, accelerated 16-month program.
One of her homework assignments in that program was to come up with a feasible, original, art-related business plan. She thought about it and realized she already had one. It just needed a name. Brittany proposed a business called The Drawing Zoo, and she pitched it like this.
The Drawing Zoo essentially is a field trip in reverse. We bring animals to studios, camps, and classrooms. Focusing on artists, we like them to draw the animals as if they were nude models or still lives.
Brittany partnered up with her friend Carrie, and last March they turned her homework assignment into the real deal. They incorporated as The Drawing Zoo.
The business comes in waves. There's months where we have classes almost every day, and then there's months where we have one or two. We have about 10 schools that are on a consistent rotation with us, so right now the goal is to just bring in more schools to our service.
The Drawing Zoo, so far, gets most of its new business by word-of-mouth referrals. They're on all the social media platforms, but they send out flyers, too.
We have these postcards that we mail out quarterly to all of our targets, schools that we think would benefit from our service. I think the return is 1%, which sounds small, but for a business, most businesses have like a 0.4% return, so I'm pretty happy with 1% right now.
Brittany seems to have learned that creating and marketing a sustainable independent business is, in a way, its own work of art. On top of her bookshelf, there's a framed photo of her at age 7 with her first pet snake. On the shelves, business books like The Goal and The Business Model Generation share space with books about the ethics of keeping animals in captivity.
Almost all of the animals at the Drawing Zoo are rescues. That's kind of how the business is so successful, is because we know the animals like the back of our hand. We know everything about them so well. They're not strangers to us.
Right. They're not products either.
They're not assets.
They are our pets, and we care about them like family members in a way.
When Carrie and Brittany show up at a drawing class, students get the benefit of impromptu zoology lessons along with their art experience.
We do get into the drawing part, life drawing. But we're also always talking about the animals, too. We talk about adaptations. We talk about where the animals come from, why they look the way they do, why they behave the way they do. I think all of that makes a richer sort of drawing experience, understanding your model.
That's sort of the point of working with the animals from life. People ask me all the time, how do you get them to stay still? And they're like, well, we don't. That's the point, is to learn. We're not bringing the animals so that the students can memorize the lines. The animals are moving around, and we're talking about why they look the way they look and behave so they can draw what they understand as opposed to just memorizing a form.
Part of the student's experience, too, is getting over the jitters. When you're face-to-face with a snake or a scorpion or a tarantula, your hand tends to shake a little more than when you're drawing a bowl of fruit.
We've never had somebody so paralyzed by fear that they couldn't enjoy the experience, I think. And part of that is, people want to be pushed out of their comfort zone a little bit. And whether they realize it or not, it's a really safe way to do that.
At the Drawing Zoo, we don't have a curriculum for each age range because the stuff that we're teaching is so unusual that it pretty much applies across the board if you haven't done it before. So I prefer working with the younger students because they don't have any preconceptions about what the animals are going to be like. We have a scorpion and a tarantula at the Drawing Zoo, and they're most popular with the younger kids. Because nobody's, I guess, it hasn't been drilled into them yet to be afraid of it. So there was a little girl once who drew Lydia, our tarantula, for the entire class. I was there for 3 hours. This little 5-year-old girl just drew Lydia over and over and over and over again.
What I usually do is put the python on one stand,
over there, and then the spider here on another, and then pierce in the window, and then people usually rotate.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
That sounds wonderful.
Awesome. I'll get them set up.
Friday morning sunlight pours through tall, east-facing windows in a fourth-floor drawing studio at Towson University's Creative Arts Building. Brittany from the Drawing Zoo has arrived with three models for the day: Pierce the Iguana, Lydia the Tarantula, and a royal python named Gunther.
So right now I'm unpacking Pierce's heat pad and his cloth that he sits on when he's modeling, and I'm going to go set that up by the window for him.
The Drawing Zoo has been invited here today by Claire Giraudy. She's the instructor for Art 106. It's a drawing for non-art majors class. And she says her students have been making good progress here during these weekly four-hour studio sessions.
We have begun with still lifes to learn proportions and directive lines, negative space, everything. And recently we've done some nude models. And now we're doing the animals mostly because they're interesting texture. And I think it brings a lot of fun in the class too. So.
You should be able to see both the models and your drawing board at the same time, okay?
At the moment, Miss Giraudy seems to be having some trouble convincing her students to cozy up to the models. The dozen or so drawing students are peeking out nervously from behind their easels while Brittany makes the introductions.
So the first animal that we have is Lydia. This is a pink zebra beauty tarantula. She's going to stay in this acrylic container the whole day. That's for her safety, not yours. She's very, very fragile. She is a great model because she doesn't move. The other two animals we have today shift and turn and move around a little bit, so that might be more challenging for those people who like to do really tight technical drawings. Lydia's going to be your favorite model. Pull up your chairs to her if you choose to draw her, but just try to be really careful so that we don't knock her over. The next animal we have is Gunther. He's a royal python. They're from West Africa. Undo his snake bag here. So he's going to be sitting on this branch the whole day. He will slither around the table a little bit until he gets himself settled. He's never even tried to go off the edge of a table. He's pretty predictable. If anybody thinks that he might fall off, just yell at me and I'll come fix him. But he's a really lazy animal, so I'm just going to let him do his thing over here. The last animal we have is Pierce. He's a 5-year-old male iguana. He's 4 pounds, but he'll be 12 pounds someday. He's still pretty young. He's in his juvenile stage right now. He's very active, and he likes to look out the window. That keeps him entertained while people are drawing him, so he's going to be over here. At the end of class, we can definitely pet him because that's his favorite part. But while we're drawing, just don't get within 3 feet of him unless you think you want him to try to climb you. Okay.
Begin your drawing with the lightest pencil you draw. The composition, the proportions, the gesture, everything you need. Then you take your pen and you only draw with pen. Why? Because if you look at all these animals, the texture is super important, super nice. So think of the volume, how you can render the volume and the texture with your pen. Okay, let's go. What time is it?
Over the next few hours, students will rotate between three stations, doing their best to capture the movement and detail of their unconventional models. Drawing pencils scratch away on paper while instructor Giraudy wanders from easel to easel, supervising the progress.
Don't be, tense and stressed because you drink these animals. Think of proportions. How do you putting it on the paper? The directive line, the negative space, etc., etc. And I want to see all of this information on your paper, right?
Are you freaked out by the snake?
I'm not freaked out by it. It's just difficult to draw because it keeps moving. That's all.
Ben Scafino is a mass communications public relations major. Gunther the python has begun taxing his patience.
Yeah, he's going from left to right all over the branch, apparently because it's warm in here.
You know how your core is like the strongest part of your body? His whole body is a core. He's just, their muscles interlace over their ribs, and they just, their whole body is just abs.
It's all the same, you know, it's muscles under skin. So give a sense of what's underneath the skin. It's something, you know, covering. And we've done some exercise where, you know, we cover a chair with a fabric, and it's the same concept.
First, it was just challenging to get used to the animals being in here.
Carrie Hardesty is an elementary education major. She's doing her best to keep up with the movements of her model.
Just trying to pay attention to the small details while the animals are moving around is definitely different than what we're used to, for sure.
And even if it's moving, continue drawing, and it's going to give you a sense of how it was moving, you know, through the session.
You're getting into some detail here on his snout. You're getting, you're like, you're drawing individual scales. This is intense.
I have to. There's no other way.
English major Samantha Stanford is seated face-to-face with Pierce the iguana.
And he's staring you down, kind of.
Yes. It makes it a little bit worse, but I'm okay. I can handle this for a little bit longer.
I don't think he's trying to intimidate you, though. He probably just wants to be petted.
I don't think that's going to happen. Not by me, at least.
It's difficult to capture every single joint that she's got going on and all the hair that she's got going on around it.
Megan Hersey is an occupational therapy major. She's hard at work drawing Lydia the tarantula.
What's different about this than compared to doing a human model?
She has just so many more parts to her. She has so many more legs and arms and her knees. That's what they're calling her joints. She has so many more of them. So that's probably the biggest difference between her and drawing humans.
Have you ever seen a tarantula before?
No.
Deanna Reagan, early childhood education major, never thought she'd say this about a spider, but...
Would you call her beautiful?
Yeah, I do like her, because at first I was skeptical. I was like, I don't even know if I want to draw her. But then as I started looking at her and observing her, I liked her more. So, yeah.
You know, they were a bit... They didn't want a tarantula. So it's nice that it's here, and it's in a box, so it's perfect. And they look pretty relaxed. You know, they were a bit tense at the beginning, but it seems that they're getting used of having them around, so it's good.
As the class draws to a close, Brittany Rogers seems pleased with the service her animal models have provided for the day. The students have been at turns exhilarated, intimidated, frustrated, and enchanted. Along the way, they've learned something of the essence of really drawing from life. She points out that an artist can't just memorize and copy lines. What it's really about is understanding a living form in all its mutability.
I was telling one of the students, I was comparing it to landscape paintings or ocean paintings, seascapes. You know, the sky and the ocean never sit still. Like, trees, you know, seem to sit still, but they're always blowing in the wind. There's always, you know, when you're drawing a landscape or seascape, there's always changes. It's always moving somehow. And people still draw the ocean, and they still paint the sky, and they still get to capture, because of the repetition, you know, they just develop an understanding of how that subject moves, so eventually it translates into a painting. So it's really not that different to work from a moving animal.
Brittany Roger is the founder of The Drawing Zoo. You can find out more about her live animal modeling service online at thedrawingzoo.com. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Henkin.